If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The legal attack is not letting up. There are those who want to see medical conscience eliminated entirely. The big target, of course, are Catholic hospitals and medical institutions where the statements of their faith, their beliefs, are under attack in an odd form, requiring legally, if possible, these hospitals to perform surgeries that are completely against the founding beliefs of the institutions themselves. Of course, where we look to see this happening in its early stages is California. We're going to talk about a California court ruling that can allow a Catholic hospital to be sued for refusing to perform a gender transition surgery. Wesley Smith joins us. He's senior fellow for the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review Online, and author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and a recent column, Catholic Hospital Can Be Sued for Refusing Transgender Hysterectomy and What Comes After Transgender. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, how are you, Todd?
Very well. Can you bring us up to speed on this California case, Minton v. Dignity Health?
Right. Dignity Health is a California Catholic hospital. And they were approached by a woman, a biological woman, for a hysterectomy. A few days before the surgery, the biological woman said that this is actually not something that was required because of a pathology. In other words, she didn't have cancer. She didn't have tumors. She wanted it, or he wanted it. I'm not going to get into lexicon and nomenclature, because it was part of a sex transition. So the woman, the biological woman, was becoming a legal male, and part of that was removing her female or his female sexual organs. Dignity Health then refused to do that. And after 3 days, after some pressure, they offered and they actually helped the patient find another hospital who did the surgery. The patient sued, saying this is discrimination based on sexual identity. The trial court said, no, this is freedom of religion, free exercise thereof. Unfortunately, a court of appeals has just reversed that and said that because the woman, this was involving a transsexual situation or transgender situation, the lawsuit could proceed for discrimination. We don't yet know what the liability will be, but once you've said in a court of appeals ruling that this can be an allegation of discrimination, the outcome is certain. It's like how high, right? Jumping how high. But what's really disturbing about this is the hospital's directives were not invidious. In other words, they were not directed at particular groups of people for discriminatory purposes. It did not say, for example, we will remove the healthy uterus of a woman because she wishes to become sterile, but we will not remove the healthy uterus of a woman because she wishes to become male. It wasn't anything like that. In fact, let me read you the directive in question. All persons served by Catholic health care have the right and duty to protect and preserve their bodily and functional integrity. The functional integrity of the person may be sacrificed to maintain the health or life of the person when no other morally permissible means is available. In other words, they will take out normal organs and interfere with normal body functions, but only for the purpose of protecting life and health, not for other purposes. And there's another directive, which I won't read because it's pretty clear, that the Catholic hospital will not sterilize, which, of course, violates Catholic moral teaching. So in this situation, a healthy organ was refused to be removed and a surgery that would have sterilized the patient. That was not based on invidiousness. It was based on the directives, which are universally applied. And yet they're going to be able to be sued because the purpose here, and you see it in bioethics, bioethical journals, you see it now beginning to appear in law, you've seen it in other litigation. There is a deep purpose in bioethics to drive pro-life, faith-based, traditional, let's say, Christian faith-based, Jewish faith-based doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and so forth out of healthcare.
And just to make sure we're well understood here, Wesley, in other words, the hospital said, we won't do a hysterectomy on a woman unless there's a medically necessary reason to do it,
right,
regardless of why this woman wants it done, period.
Right.
That's irrelevant. We won't do it unless it's medically necessary.
Right. So if the patient presented with tumors in the uterus, and that was the best way to preserve her health and life, of course, the hospital would do the hysterectomy. I wrote a piece for the American Spectator in which I posited a hypothetical about this case. If a woman had presented saying, look, I wish to become sterile, and I identify as a postmenopausal woman, I really don't want to have periods. I really don't want to have children. I really see myself, this is how I perceive myself on the inside as a postmenopausal woman, take out my ovaries and take out my uterus, the hospital wouldn't have done it either under those circumstances. Now, you might say, well, the court wouldn't have forced the hospital to do that in that situation. That may be true, but that's only because of the political correctness and the moral panic we find ourselves in on the transgender issue. It isn't because of any kind of overarching principle that could possibly apply. There is a very disturbing mental illness called body identity integrity disorder, in which people, as desperately, they're very tormented people, Todd. They see themselves, they perceive themselves subjectively as disabled. So some wish to have their spinal cord severed. Some wish to have a healthy arm amputated because that's who they see themselves as truly being. Some wish to be blinded. I don't see a difference between saying that a Catholic hospital has to perform this hysterectomy than if a patient approached that same hospital and said, sever my spinal cord, because both patients were trying to have their physicality match their internal existential state. Today, we're told the transgender issue is a matter of discrimination, perhaps not the spinal cord, but there's no real difference between the two except the power of the transgender political community to compel people to do things their way. But in 5 or 10 years, since we seem to have lost the ability to draw objective lines, since we seem to have lost the ability to say that Catholic hospitals cannot be forced to violate their principles and their directives based on their establishment faith, I don't see how at some point in, say, in 10 years, you're not going to be able to, or 15 years, whatever, force hospitals and doctors to disable somebody who has BIID in the same way they're now being forced to, what is a mutilation of a normal body, mutilate a person because they see themselves as the opposite sex. In fact, the people who have BIID have gotten the message. They now call themselves trans-abled, hooking as the caboose on the roaring train engine of the transgender issue.
And this all comes back, doesn't it, Wesley, to first do no harm as a basic principle of medicine, not only a Catholic belief, but a basic principle of medicine.
Right. And what's happened in utilitarian bioethics and modern healthcare is that the concept of harm has been turned on its head. So certainly the people representing the patient against the transgendered patient against the Catholic hospital think it was a harm to her not to be able to receive this surgery, whereas the Catholic directive says it is a harm to take out a healthy organ. Let's move to another example of medical conscience as you raised it. In Canada, Euthanasia, lethal injection euthanasia, has been legalized throughout the country because of a court ruling, Supreme Court ruling, and which with which the government went along. The province of Ontario passed a, basically said, we're going to allow the ethics of the Ontario College of Surgeons and Doctors and Surgeons, it's like the medical association of the province, to determine whether doctors have to participate. This medical association have said in their ethics that any doctor approached for euthanasia, realize that's killing, that's homicide, that any doctor approached for homicide by a legally qualified patient must kill that patient or must provide what is called an effective referral, meaning they must procure a doctor for the patient that they know will be willing to kill the patient. In other words, they have to be complicit in that act. Catholic doctors, other Christian doctors, other faith doctors, and doctors who believe in the Hippocratic Oath brought a lawsuit against that law. They said, look, the Canadian Charter specifically guarantees, quote, freedom of conscience and religion. That is a stronger guarantee than our Constitution's right to free exercise of religion, because it's not just religion, it's conscience. Yet a court of appeals has ruled that a patient's quote, right that they've invented to receive equal access to all legal health care trumps freedom of religion. And now Ontario doctors, not only must they euthanize if asked by a legally qualified patient or provide the effective referral, they must perform an abortion. They must do these transgendered interventions, including, one would assume, blocking the healthy puberty of a child who has been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, even though that can actually have very serious side effects for the child, not to mention the emotional aspects and the unknown consequence over the long-term life of that patient. So we are seeing a real struggle now between freedom of conscience and an authoritarianism that is really attacking healthcare, that says you must comply with the reigning secular belief system in the way you practice medicine, or get the heck out of medicine, or maybe become a podiatrist where you won't be asked to do an abortion. It's really a tyranny, as far as I'm concerned. If you can force somebody to take innocent human life in the medical context, and you're not a soldier on a battlefield following a legal order, but you're a doctor in your office, then that's no longer a free country. That's no longer liberty. That's authoritarianism, even if it has a nice face and is polite.
Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking about a California court ruling forcing Catholic hospitals at the point of legal lawsuits to perform gender transition surgery. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the authoritarian structure that is necessary to require people to violate their consciences.
Invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band, Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a traditional German buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $15. Attendance is limited to 200. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more and purchase tickets at school.stpaulhamel.org. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Alton Memorial Hospital, Bunker Hill Chiropractic Clinic, and Bunker Hill Physical Therapy, Hoxie Hollow LLC, Be Dry and Be Wet Solutions, and Steve Schmidt Auto. Oktoberfest, Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking about a California court ruling that would allow Catholic hospitals to be sued for refusing to perform gender transition surgery. Wesley, before the break, you were talking about the authoritarianism that is envisioned by those in Canada and here in the United States in order to require people to violate their consciences. The medical profession is like any other profession. If you are fired from a hospital because you refuse to violate your own conscience, it's not like you could just walk across the street and get a job someplace else. There's referral. There's all this kind of thing. This isn't limited to individual cases. It can't stay limited to individual cases,
right?
Can it?
Well, no. And you have the the Trump administration is trying to actually protect medical conscience in a stronger way than has been done heretofore. It has a proposed rule that would take all of the laws that have already been passed and actually enforce them that protect medical conscience. And when they announced that, you should have heard the screaming and yelling. You would have thought that Roe v. Wade had been overturned. It's just an astonishing thing to see. So what has happened is you are beginning to see, at least in the bioethics field, utilitarian bioethics, the people who teach at Harvard, at Princeton, and this kind of thing, people who teach the doctors of tomorrow, the nurses of tomorrow, and the medical establishment has kind of shifted. They're turning doctors and nurses away from being professionals and into functionaries. That is, if a patient, it's called kind of patient-centered care or patient rights, that if a patient wants something from a medical context and that desire, what they want can actually provide the effect that they're looking for, then many are saying that doctors are legally and should be ethically bound to do it, which takes away the professionalism of the doctor, and it also takes away the conscience of the doctor. And then you have, for example, getting back to Canada, the government of Canada has said it's not just that euthanasia is legal, there's a positive right to actually receive it. So if there's a right to be made dead, and since the government hasn't set up killing centers where you can be made dead, then the government is going to have to coerce doctors to do the killing. Now, that to me is authoritarian. You are forcing people to take innocent human life. You are forcing people to do things in the medical context, such as stop a child's puberty, that you not only disagree with from a moral perspective, but in terms of ethics, you think is unhealthy and harmful to that patient. You are taking away the professional freedom of doctors to do what is best for their patients. And it's all under the aegis or the banner of stopping discrimination. But it is discrimination. It is discrimination based on conscience and morality, and because these doctors and nurses have a more traditional view of medicine and of the point of life than the current reigning secular paradigm.
And I guess I got to ask, as just a person who, you know, may need a doctor any day, do I want to have a class of medical experts, doctors and physicians, who are willing to bend their conscience to either government or institutional demands? I kind of want my doctor to have a conscience. He's handling my life at times.
Yes, exactly. And how scary would it be that you wouldn't be able to find a doctor who would refuse to kill you? I mean, that's really scary because, you know, I'm not criticizing the people who want to be killed. The people who want to be killed are in a very dark place. The person that they should most be able to expect that their lives would be protected, even when they can't see that they want that protection or need that protection, should be their own doctor. At the very least, we should all want doctors with a professional conscience. Now, let's say that I hold to the kind of beliefs you and I agree on, and a doctor holds to those beliefs too, and somebody comes to the doctor to become a patient, the doctor should inform that patient. For example, hello, patient, just so you know, if you're going to have me as your doctor, I refuse to assist suicides. I think since these things are becoming legal, a patient has the right to be informed before they take the doctor as their professional, what the doctor's value system is or what the hospital's value systems are. Now, when someone, as you pointed out at the top of the article, why would somebody who wants a sex change surgery go to a Catholic hospital? You should know that the Catholic hospital is going to say, we don't do that. So I'm wondering, and I don't know whether that's the case, whether that hospital was approached for the very purpose of being able to bring a lawsuit. I don't know if that's true or not, but we've seen that in other contexts of bakers being approached precisely because they don't want to use their artistic expression to bake cakes for example, a same-sex wedding. So we know that some kinds of targeting goes on, and it wouldn't surprise me that it happens in healthcare.
Doctors are generally very risk averse, especially legal risk averse. There's a reason for that. They are vulnerable in a lot of ways, and they're human beings. They make mistakes. How much do you think that's going to be a factor? I just don't want the legal hassle that's going to come with this. If they say, I got to do this surgery for this person, I don't agree with them, I'll do the surgery because I don't want the legal hassles down the road.
I think there'll be some of that, but I think of an even greater concern is the brain drain. You have a lot of doctors who are capable of retiring anytime they want to. And you're going to take, for example, I was thinking in Canada, you tell a very expert 30-year experienced oncologist that he has to kill his cancer patients, that doctor might say, fine, I'm taking my football and I'm going home. And then the cancer patients have lost the expertise of that doctor. The society has lost the expertise of that doctor. Not to mention the brain drain of a lot of very capable and talented young people who won't become doctors in the first place, who won't become nurses, who won't become pharmacists because they don't want to be put into a position of having to violate their own faith-based or their own moral consciences. And that's part of why this is being done. The message is being sent. If you're pro-life, if you're traditional Christian, you should not go into healthcare. It's a very disturbing thing to ponder.
Finally, Wesley, with about 30 seconds, if the institution or in this case, perhaps even the government can tell a physician what he must do with his patients, then they can really tell him what he must do in any circumstances in his professional life, can't they?
Well, you're moved to the place where the doctor becomes a functionary of, if not the state, certainly the reigning ethical paradigms of the medical profession that the establishment that governs the practice of healthcare. And certainly what California court is doing to this particular hospital is they are saying you have to practice medicine the way we tell you, not the way you've always done it, and not the way that hospital, which was, by the way, set up with a lot of philanthropy from people who believe in Catholic approach to healthcare. You're basically saying that those people were suckers to put their money into those hospitals because we're not going to allow you to practice medicine in that approach.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review Online, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and a recent column called Catholic Hospital Can Be Sued for Refusing Transgender Hysterectomy, and another one, What Comes After Transgender. You can read these columns on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we are going to conclude our series on enduring faith with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. We're going to talk about Christ's victory over our sinful flesh, the world, and the devil.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station is proud to announce the opening of its first Missouri location, Creve Coeur. College Preparation Station provides ACT, SAT, PSAT instruction, and college scholarship guidance. Their new Creve Coeur branch is located at 11,500 Olive Boulevard. Learn more at cpsprep.com or call 314-750-5967. College Preparation Station in Creve Coeur, Missouri, and Maryville, Illinois. cpsprep.com.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.